Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation. Today we'll be going through text 13 to 17. The first verses don't have purport, so I'll just read them myself and we'll chant text 17 together. Text 13. Natasya sampada sarva mahishyo vamalochana sarvabhamasya pushcheyam abhavan prithihetavaha. Translation. The queens all had beautiful faces and attractive eyes, yet neither his opulences, his hundreds and thousands of queens, nor the lands of which he was the supreme proprietor were sources of happiness for him. You know, King Chitraketu. Text 14. Tasyaikada tu bhavanam angira bhagavan rishi lokan anucharane tan upagachchad yadrichchaya. Once upon a time, when the powerful sage named Angira was traveling all over the universe without engagement, by his sweet will he came to the palace of King Chitraketu. Text 15. Tam pujayat va vidivat pratyutan arhanadibihi kritatityam upasidat sukasinam samahitaha. Chitraketu immediately stood up from his throne and offered him worship. He offered drinking water and eatables, and in this way performed his duty as a host to a great guest. When the rishi was seated very comfortably, the king, restraining his mind and senses, sat on the ground at the side of the rishi's feet. Text 16. Maharshis tam upasinam prashraya vanatam chito pratipujya maharaja samabhasyedam abravit. O King Parikshit, when Chitraketu, bent low in humility, was seated at the lotus feet of the great sage, the sage congratulated him for his humility and hospitality. The sage addressed him in the following words. So please repeat. Angira uvacha api te anamayan swasti prakritinam tatatmanaha yata prakritibir gupta puman Raja cha saptabihi angira uvacha apite namayam svasti prakritinam tatatmanaha yata prakritibir guptaha Puman Raja Chasaptabihi Angira Uvacha Apite Namayam Swasti Prakritinam Tatatmanaha Yata Prakritibir Gupta Puman Raja Chasaptabihi Angira Vacha apite namayam svasti, prakritinam tatatmanaha, yata prakritibir gupta, puman raja chasaptabihi. Angira vacha, pite namayam swasti, prakritinam tata manaha, tata prakritibir gupta, manraja chasaptibihi, angira vacha, Enamayan Swasti Prakritinam Tatatmaha Yata Prakritibir Gupta Anapi Saptibi Yuracha Enamayan Swasti Ta Prakriti Bhagavata Namaya Saptavi Vavacha Chainamayam Swasti Prakritinam Tatamana Ta Prakriti Bhagavata Man Raja Chasaptibihi Angya Vacha Pite Namayam Swasti Prakriti Nam Chavatmana Prakriti Bhya Gupta Man Raja Chasaptibihi Vaishnavis Yavacha Akritinam Yam Sasti Akritinam Yavamana Akritibir Gupta Yavasasavsibi Angira Vacha. The great sage Angira said, Api, whether, te, of you, anamayam, health, swasti, auspiciousness, prakritinam, of your royal elements, associates and paraphernalia, tata, as well as Atmanaha of your own body, mind, and soul. Yata like Prakritibhi by the elements of material nature. Guptaha protected. Puman the living being. Raja the king. Cha, also. Saptabihi, by seven. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Angira said, my dear king, I hope your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalia are well when the seven properties of material nature, the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements, his instructor, Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As it is quoted by Sridhar Swami in his Bhagavatam commentary, Swamya Mantrati Janapada Durga Dravina Sanchayaha Dandamitram Chatas Yaitaha Sapta Prakritayo Mataha. A king is not alone. He first has his spiritual master, the supreme guide. Then come his ministers, his kingdom, his fortifications, his treasury, his system of law and order, and his friends or allies. If these seven are properly maintained, the king is happy. Similarly, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin Yata Dehe, the living entity, the soul, is within the material covering of the Mahatattva, ego, and Panchatanmatra, the five objects of sense gratification. When those seven are in proper order, the living entity is in a mood of pleasure. Generally, when the associates of the king are quiet and obedient, the king can be happy. Therefore, the great sage Angira Rishi inquired about the king's personal health and the good fortune of his seven associates. When we inquire from a friend whether everything is well, we are concerned not only with his personal self, but with his family, his source of income, his assistants or servants. All of them must be well, and then a person can be happy. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu and Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn many things. We learn philosophical things. We learn things about cosmology and history. We learn about politics, everything in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we also learn about interpersonal relationships. So what's happening in this section of the Bhagavatam, we're going to see in the succeeding verses, is that Angira Rishi is inquiring confidentially to Chitraketu Maharaj, King Chitraketu, about his situation. He's noticing that he's looking a little bit unhappy, so he's inquiring to find out what the reason for his unhappiness is. So this principle of inquiring, you know, confidentially is an important part of interpersonal relationships in devotional service. In his Upadesh Amrita, Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami mentions, Dadati Pratigrinati Guyam Akyati Prichchati Punkte Boja Te Chaiva Shadvidam Pritilakshanam. These are actually the symptoms of priti, or love and affection, you know, between two persons. The giving and accepting of gifts inquiring confidentially and revealing one's mind in confidence, and exchanging prasadam, foodstuffs. And these things go on at all different levels in all kinds of interpersonal relationships, even just within ordinary material life. People engage in these practices when they're trying to establish some relationship. You know, Srila Prabhupada mentions a few times this is how, you know, business is done. You know, you offer someone, you know, a nice dinner at a restaurant. You know, this is common in business. They exchange invitations where, you know, to dinner or lunch, exchange foodstuffs, also exchange little gifts, you know, as part of their business dealings. It's very common. You know, if you're engaged in international business, you know, there's instructions, you know, what to do when you go to a certain foreign country, what gift to offer, how to behave when you accept a gift. You know, in some countries, you know, you're supposed to open the gift right when it's given to you, and other countries that's considered rude. You know, you're supposed to take the gift, open it later. And then there's the actual business dealings. You inquire confidentially, well, what do you want out of this deal? And you reveal your mind confidentially. Here's what I expect to get out of this deal. And in this, within that whole context, Srila Prabhupada says a business, you know, relationship can be established. And also, you know, in terms of, you know, mundane romantic relationships, you know, these principles are there. Exchanging foodstuffs, exchanging gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence, inquiring confidentially, how are you feeling about me? I'm feeling like this about you. In this way, you know, a relationship is established. So, and also in devotional service, these are principles for establishing loving relationships among devotees. You know, the same principles are there. Accepting prasadam, giving prasadam, offering some gift, receiving some gift, inquiring confidentially, revealing one's mind and confidence. And not only among devotees who are on the same level, but these relationships are also there between the spiritual master and the disciple. You know, these principles are there. And between the devotee and Lord Krishna, you know, these same principles are applied. You know, I was reading, you know, something Srila Prabhupada said about this particular thing. You know, he had quoted, you know, this verse, the Dati Pratigrananti Guyamakyati Prichtati verse. And then he was mentioning it, how it applies to the relationship between the devotee and Krishna. So he says, Prabhupada says, you know, you have to hear Bhagavad Gita, and if you've got any confidential thing, you have to submit to Krishna. Krishna, I am suffering this way. I am fallen in the tossing waves of material illusion. Kindly save me. So we're meant to develop you know, a confidential, loving relationship with Krishna, ultimately. So Srila Prabhupada is giving some clues, you know, how we can do that by revealing our minds, you know, confidentially to Krishna. So who else are we going to turn to ultimately? And we see Srila Prabhupada himself, you know, did this. Like when, you know, he was ordered, you know, by his spiritual master to come to the Western world, you know, to preach Krishna consciousness. So he spent his entire life preparing to do that. And finally, when he was 69 years old, he got on the ship, the Jaladuta, and rowed it across, you know, the oceans to the harbor in Boston. And when he was sitting in the harbor, he was writing a poem in which he confidentially revealed his mind to Krishna. You know, Krishna, you've brought me here, but what am I going to do? You know, these people, they're covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. So how can I possibly have any effect, you know, on their consciousness? But he said, I don't have any power to do this, but by your power, it could happen somehow. So this is all part of, you know, developing a loving relationship ultimately with Krishna, and it's very important. In the 1960s, you know, there was one rock group, you know, the Jefferson Airplane. And they had a popular song, you know, you got to find somebody to love. And anyway, I was reading how, you know, Vishnu John Swami said he had played with the Jefferson Airplane before he became a devotee or something, before they became very, very popular. But in any case, once Srila Prabhupada heard, you know, that song, and you know, he was talking with some devotees about this topic of love, and he said, "What was that song? You know, we heard them singing the other day." And the devotee said, "You got to find somebody to love." And let's see. Yeah. Says, yeah, got to find somebody to love. Srila Prabhupada says, "Jai. Better find somebody to love." That is the problem. This is the problem of human life. You know, to find the right person to love. So, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shruti Chitti Karya Udai. You know, by nature, we are meant to love Krishna. That love for Krishna is eternally there. Simply has to be awakened, you know, by the processes of devotional service. And some of the processes for awakening love are in this verse from Rupa Goswami, you know, the six processes of, you know, developing love, six ways of developing love. So, as I said, these principles can be applied. They're applied, you know, by ordinary people in their ordinary lives. Among devotees, they're applied. We should have somebody to whom we can reveal our minds confidentially, and from whom we can inquire confidentially. It's very helpful. Like Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was stressing the importance of this principle of revealing one's mind and inquiring confidentially. In Tehran, you know, he was giving a darshan, August 9, 1976, and he said, "If I love you and I've got some secrecy I don't disclose to you, that is not perfect love. I must deal with you open-hearted." So, generally, like we see when some loving relationship breaks down, a big factor in it is a breakdown in this guhyamakyati prichchati. One begins having some secrets, you know, from, you know, the person, the friend, the husband or wife or whatever, political associate, business associate. One stops being open-hearted, you know, with the person one is in a relationship with, and starts keeping some secrets and not revealing everything that's going on. And, you know, when that happens, inevitably, you know, it's going to cause the relationship to break down. So, these are very important principles, and we're seeing here how Angira is going to inquire very, very confidentially from Chitraketu about, because he's noticing he's unhappy. And as we go through these next verses, we're going to see how he says, "Is this wrong? What is it this? Is it that? Please, you know, tell me, reveal what is the source of your difficulty." And, you know, a good friend will sometimes be like that. Notice you're in some difficulty, and then just inquire very deeply. You know, what is the source of your unhappiness? Because a real friend, doesn't want to see, you know, his friend unhappy. So these, and ultimately, you know, Srila Prabhupada was indicating, it may be something so confidential that we can't reveal it to anyone but Krishna, really. Maybe the spiritual master. Maybe we can reveal it to some other devotee, but it may be something very, very confidential that can, you know, that, and if one can't reveal it to anybody else, at least one can reveal it to Krishna. "I'm having this difficulty. Please show me the way out of this difficulty, or how I can do something to please you. I'm trying to please you. I'm feeling I'm not pleasing you. Please, you know, show me how I can please you." So, if ultimately, it's something we can't feel, we can't reveal to anyone else, at least we can reveal it to Krishna. Of course, Krishna knows, but Krishna says, "Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te." Now, if one is really a sincere devotee of Krishna, he'll give, you know, the intelligence, you know, how to come to him. Sarvasya chaham priti sannivishto vatasmit yirgyanam apohanam cha. I'm seated in the hearts of all, and I give memory, knowledge, forgetfulness. Krishna will help us forget what should be forgotten. He'll help us remember what should be remembered. He'll give us the knowledge that we need to attain Him and please Him. If we're sincere, Krishna will give these things. So Angira, he's inquiring confidentially from Chitraketu. And we'll see in the coming verses how this unfolds. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Sachin and I?
Interactions or relationships and exchanges of devotees, and observing the way we follow our programs, the devotees here in the community. We come to Mangalarti, we cannot talk, of course. Then we go to Guru Puja, we cannot talk. Then we go to Japa, you cannot talk. Then after that, you go to breakfast, you want to say something, somebody says shh, shh, because he's reading the whole time. So I experienced that, for example, when we go to big festivals like Mayapur or Vrindavan, especially you go and see all your friends that you haven't seen in long time, there's no such a thing as reading, because it will be like a chaos. You can, even if you want to.
I didn't understand.
I've seen that it will be like a chaotic, difficult for a person to impose, reading at the time when we're eating, in big festivals, in Mayapur and Vrindavan, when everybody sits together to eat. So my question to you will be, is it necessary really to pack so much? Because that's I find personally that time is the time that you could actually interact with some devotees and have some friendly relationships. Now, some devotees might argue and say that, you're not supposed to be talking, you're supposed to be concentrating, and that's one argument. But the other argument also is that when you're taking prasadam, I read this part, I can't remember exactly where, you don't supposed to be listening philosophical, deep, topics. So either way, so my question comes back to, is it necessary actually, especially at that particular time, to kind of impose or to add more, to one of our religious principles? Or should we leave it free for exchanging?
Oh, you mean make some formal arrangement for Guhya Makheti Prachati.
Yeah.
That's a very, very good comment. I wonder about these things myself sometimes. But then, I guess part because this is a loving exchange. It's called Shadvida Pratilakshanam. So I guess it's a love will find a way. somehow, if you're really feeling that need, and I think we all do, to have loving relationships, we'll find some way to, maybe you have to say, Prabhu, there's something I want to discuss with you. Can we discuss? But I think it's a real issue, I think you're pointing out a big thing. When do you find time, for that? So that's part of becoming expert in devotional service, I guess, for finding the time, place, and circumstance to reveal one's mind or to inquire confidentially from someone that That's part of the challenge. Yes?
What I hear you saying, Prabhu, in that question is we're so engaged all morning and that when it comes time for prasadam, that seems to be a kind of a natural time to exchange in kind of interpersonal dialogue. And you're finding that even when there's prasadam, there's like philosophical discourses going on. So therefore, why can't that time just be for that type of exchange? Is that what I'm hearing you saying? So yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, well, that's a temple policy. I'm not going to say what I personally think about it. But I think sometimes the motive is that... I mean, there are probably different opinions about this, you know, so maybe it's something for the, you know, that has to be considered at some higher level of the temple, but it may be thinking, oh, if that isn't going on, the devotees will just talk all nonsense. Like I said, I'm not going to reveal what my publicly, if somebody wants to inquire confidentially, I might say what my real opinion is, but but it's a, I think it is an issue when, if these things are important in devotional service, then when do devotees get the opportunity to do these things? That's an important question. Okay, anybody think we've got time for one more? Archita.
In Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to maintain a standard way of doing anything because everybody has their own opinion. And when it comes to any function in devotional service, let's say the kirtan, some devotees are very adamant that it should end on time every day, so the class will start on time, therefore the class won't run late. Now the devotees say, no, but the devotees are feeling ecstasy. What if it goes over 5 minutes, 10 minutes? So whatever aspect of the morning program you look at, somebody's going to like it one way and somebody else is going to like it another way. It's very difficult to maintain a standard that everybody thinks is wonderful. So when it comes to the prasadam, I think the devotees who want to speak confidentially or otherwise, or just speak in general, they have options.
They can
go out on the lawn, they can collect their prasadam, go home, whatever. So one of the benefits of being in New York is that it is so packed with transcendental sound vibration all morning. Subhas reads every day, or if he's not here, somebody else reads. During the prasadam, somebody reads. I think that's very good, because we never fail to find time to chat when we really want to. We chat on the phone, we chat by texting, we chat constantly. What we don't find time to do is hear Srila Prabhupada's books attentively. That's what many of us don't do. So I think one of the features of this program here in New York that really makes it surcharged with spiritual energy is that we do get to hear a little extra that we don't do maybe elsewhere. We hear the reading every morning. We hear the reading under the prasadam. And you have options. If you don't really want to hear one day, you know, take your tiffin, pack it, and go home.
Srila Prabhupada, he's fine.